Let us now turn to the Word of God for our worship, for our praise, for our instruction in righteousness. We turn to the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the Word of God, the book of the Revelation and the chapter 22. The book of the Revelation, chapter 22. Commencing reading at the verse 1. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His word. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servant shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let them that hear us say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. This is the word of the living God, and may the Lord grant his blessing to that public reading of his most holy word, all to the glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our poor and never dying souls. Well, let us unite our hearts in a further moment and word of prayer before we come to the ministry of God's word, knowing that we are utterly dependent upon Almighty God to receive anything truly in the heart. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come before thy word with a sense of trepidation. Lord, for we know, as the Lord Jesus has said, by the measure that ye hear, it shall be given unto you. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. O Lord, may we hear with a true and upright disposition of heart, ready to be doers of thy word, and not just hearers. O Father, help me, Lord, as I minister thy word, Lord, to preach thy word accurately and clearly, with a sense, Lord, that I can do nothing without thee, Lord. I cast myself as a worm into thy kind arms, Lord. Pray, Lord, that thou might be gracious unto me and help me to minister the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully to the glory of his name and, Father, to the profit of my hearers today. O Lord, bless their souls in thee. Get glory to thy name. May the minister, as it were, not be so much seen today, but Christ. We pray that he will be lifted up and exalted in our midst. Bless us, Father, we pray, for his dear name's sake. We ask these things through the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you in your hearing earlier in the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, and I take for my text this morning the words found in the verse 12, the words of the Lord Jesus, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. May the Lord be pleased to grant me his gracious help this morning and send his Spirit that we may rightly understand and apply his word. Just a few things by way of introduction this morning before we come to this text. The first thing we want to say is that this last book of the Bible is not the revelation of John, as some claim. But you notice the opening words of the book of the Revelation begin in this way: the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. To what end? Well, we're told to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And then we read that he signified it and sent it by his angel to his servant John. John is being revealed these things. John is on the island of Patmos. He is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord is revealing things to him that will shortly come to pass. The things that involve this world to the very end of time, God is revealing to John the Apostle. John is quite possibly the last living Apostle. The time right now is approximately 95 AD, and there is great persecution upon the earth. The Roman Emperor Domitian, a violent emperor, is persecuting many, many Christians. And John, as I said, is on the island of Patmos, suffering tribulation for the sake of the Lord Jesus. He tells us in the verse 9 of the chapter 1, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation." He was in tribulation himself. And he goes on to say, not only is he their companion in tribulation, but he says, "and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." He says, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. If we are the Lord's, the world will hate us, for it hated our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be sure of that. And all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, this last book of the Bible begins with a glorious vision of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the chapter 1, we have, as John is given this sight by the Spirit, this vision of Christ where we read, Christ's countenance is as the sun, bright, shining. His effulgence is so great, his hair as wool, his face bright, burning, his feet as burning brass, his eyes as a flame of fire. The glorious risen Savior is pictured before us. Now, when John sees the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in the verse 17, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. The sight was so awesome, so glorious, that of Christ. When John sees him in his glory, it is all too much for John. But the gentle Lord Jesus, who is mighty, who is omnipotent, puts his hand upon John and says, fear not, it is I. He that was dead, but now that ever lives, it is I. And in his hand are his seven stars. In his hand are his ministers. And he is there walking amidst his lampstands, his churches. Every true church is called a lampstand. And in chapter 2 and chapter 3, there is an address to seven of the churches in Asia Minor. Seven, signifying in the scriptures complete. In those churches, there is a message to each and every one of them. And universally, we could say that oftentimes churches do depict each one of those churches. And there is a message always for us, though it may be to the church at Pergamos or Thyatira or Philadelphia. The Lord speaks not only to those churches individually, but to every church. It is general in one sense, although in chapter 2 and chapter 3 there is a letter to each of the churches. It is nonetheless, when we consider the book of the Revelation, it is a message to the church of Jesus Christ general. And so while chapter 2 and chapter 3 may be to specific churches, the rest of the book of the Revelation, as well as those two chapters, speak to us. And it's a message of comfort. It's a message of comfort to each one of those churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3. To every one of those churches, there is a problem mentioned, but there is an exhortation, he that overcometh. He that overcometh. And it's true for every child of God, we will be overcomers in this world. We will overcome sin, the devil, and the world. Why? Because Christ is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. So when you come to the chapter 4, we see Christ, the Lamb that was slain upon the throne. John is given a vision of heaven, and there is Christ. He is ruling and he is reigning, and there are myriads of angels who worship at his feet. And God is glorified through him. When you come to chapter 6, what we have is the unfolding of time in this world. Since the days of John and since the ascension of Christ, Christ is ruling, and there is a constant battle between good and evil in this world, from chapter 6 right to the end. And so what can we say about that? Satan will ultimately be destroyed. Evil will be dealt with. That is the message of the book of the Revelation. And in conclusion of the book, there's a great day of judgment that begins in the chapter 20, when every person shall stand before God. It's the day of judgment, and evil will be punished, all sin will be punished, and Christ shall reign forever and forever, and his people will be with him in heaven, in a new heavens and a new earth. And in chapter 22, where we're at this morning, the theme is heaven, and there's a final exhortation to saints and those who would hear the gospel, where we read in our text this morning, the verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. Now, there are three things from the text this morning, the verse 12, that I want us to consider. Firstly, we notice a solemn and sudden and glorious appearing of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the words, "And behold, I come quickly." None other than God in the second person of the Trinity. "I come quickly." And then secondly, we see Christ's reward. He says, "And my reward is with me." And then thirdly, the reward of men, that is his people who have served him and loved him here below. Those whose hearts he has saved and converted to give every man, we read, according as his work shall be. Now firstly, let us consider a solemn, sudden, and glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And behold, I come quickly." This word here, notice, "behold," is meant to make us to think soberly. Whenever we read in the Word of God, the word "behold," we are to stop and we are to consider, behold. And what the Lord is saying is that there is this solemn day, "behold, I who am God, come quickly." These words are Old Testament language that we find. Behold, for instance, in Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple." Behold, God is saying to all of us, consider this weighty matter, that there is coming a great solemn day, and as Christians, we should prepare for it. If you're not saved, you must know about it, and you must ponder it. There is one great climactic event that is yet to take place in this world, one great final event, and that is coming with certainty. The Son of God shall come upon the clouds of heaven with a mighty entourage of the angels of heaven, and there will be a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound. It will be a shout so loud that it will reverberate into the very depths of the sea, so that even the sea will give up its dead, the graves will give up their dead. It'll be a shout that this world has never heard. "Behold, I who am God, come quickly." We've never seen God, but he's coming. There is a day, mark it. We do not know the time, the day, the hour, but he says, "I come." Quickly, meaning suddenly. Well, as we look at the seasons, as we look at this world, it's easy to think that another year will roll by. We're not sure what the year 2020 will bring us. We're not sure what tomorrow will bring us. We know not what a day brings forth. We do not know the day, the hour, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Millennia have passed, seasons, as summer, springtime, and harvest pass by every year, we can lull ourselves into a false sense of security and say, where is the promise of his coming? As the people did in the ancient days of Noah, as they scoffed and as they mocked, then suddenly that great deluge came. The heavens were opened up and the fountains of the deep, and there was a great flood all over this world, and God destroyed this entire population of the world. Only 8 were spared. And it was too late. There will be that great momentous day and the solemn appearing when the glorious majestic Son of God shall appear. He who is the brightness and the glory of heaven, and every eye, we read, shall see him, and those who pierced him will mourn. at that great event in history. It has been decreed by God that Christ will come. It's been decreed before the foundation of the world. It is something which Enoch, we're told, Jude says Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. In Jude 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." My dear friends, that's going to be a solemn day when those awesome creatures, those angelic beings, huge, shall come, and men shall be calling, as we read in the Word of God, for the rocks and the mountains and the hills to fall upon them, for the wrath of the Lamb is come. And who shall escape his anger? In the book of Daniel, in the chapter 12, we read of his coming. In the book of Ezekiel, Job speaks of all these things. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of that very thing. In Luke chapter 18, he said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Will he find faith? Yes, he will, but very little. We read in Matthew 24 that the end of time, the love of the many will wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. The gospel will be preached in all the world. And then he says, then shall the end come. It seems that as the end of time rolls on, the church, many in the church, many of the professing many will wax cold. So-called Christians. But were they Christians at all? As the world waxes worse and worse in its iniquity, the love of the many shall wax cold. Well, the Lord Jesus speaks of his coming. Peter speaks of his coming. Peter says about his appearing, he says concerning Christians, he says, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." My dear friends, he's going to appear. It may be long in his coming, but he is coming. You know, the scriptures speak of his first coming, and God never lies. God cannot lie. He says, "Behold, I come." The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 9:27, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time." He's coming one last time. It's not a time to give people another chance, but it's a time when men shall be judged. We who have loved him here below and served him will have nothing to fear. We who have trusted in his righteousness, we who have repented of our sins and believed upon him, we shall have nothing to fear. But all the unbelieving, all those who despise him, will have everything to fear. He came the first time to live and to die for his people, and to earn for them a righteousness which they do not have, not of themselves. He came to live for them, and then he came to die for their sins, to suffer in their stead, and they will meet him in that day without fear. But the unbelieving, the unconverted, what of them? Well, we read in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Judas will come forth from the grave, his spirit now awaiting judgment. Adam and Eve, we shall see. Whoever is saved, their spirits are now gone to be with the Lord. But has he not said in John 5, "Marvel not, the hour is coming, all that are in the grave shall come out of the grave, some unto the resurrection of everlasting life, some to the resurrection of everlasting damnation." Yes, everyone shall come forth. Those bodies that have sat in the graves for thousands of years shall suddenly take flesh. You think this is impossible? God, who spoke this world into being in a moment, who said, "Let there be light," Christ, who has made all things made by him and for him, when he shouts, "All flesh shall come before him," we read in the psalm that all flesh shall appear before him and men will see the Lord of glory. We read in Revelation, "All men fled from the face of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Men will be running and hiding, but those great angelic beings, my dear friends, will be pulling men out of the rocks and the mountains, for the wrath of God is come. My friends, this is what the Word of God has to say, and it is a solemn truth. And the Word of God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. This is a reality beyond doubt. This is a certainty. It will be a solemn day, and he will come in glory. He said in Mark 8:38, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels, it will not be any less glory. But when he comes in the glory of his Father with all of his holy angels, what a day will that be? Every time as believers, as we gather around the Lord's table, what do? We remember his death till he come again. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come again. Remember, it's a promise, isn't it? And the saints have prayed for his coming. We see in this how the church, how the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. That has been the prayer of God's people through the ages, hasn't it? And he has promised to vouchsafe that and to bring it to pass. He must come, because that has been the promise of God and it's been the prayer of his people. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, what will happen when he comes? An incredible thing will take place that's never been seen before. As I said, men will come out of the graves. The Lord Jesus said, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. People will stand before him. Everybody that has ever lived. There will be one complete universal resurrection of the just and the unjust. God will do it in the twinkling of an eye, we are told. The Lord has said in his word, and he asked the question, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing too hard for God, is there? And it will happen. And at his coming, there will be a vindication of the Son of God. He will be vindicated. Those that have said, there is no God. There'll be no atheists on that day. There'll be nobody who says, show us God. There's no God. He will be vindicated. And men will know and they'll feel their sin as never before. We'll see the Son of Man's vindication. And every knee shall bow. Every knee. Satan will bow. Everyone that has ever hated him. Every atheist will bow. And Christ will be vindicated. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way, saith the Scriptures. And when he comes, he will come to deliver his people. He will vindicate them as true to his word, the true witnesses. And he will come for them to usher them in to an everlasting kingdom prepared. This is what he's been doing throughout this time. The spirits of saints have gone to be with him. And you know what? When he comes, we read, he will bring those that have died, those souls, and their bodies shall be reunited forever to a glorious body to inherit the kingdom prepared. What a day that will be. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. The apostle says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He will bring all his saints with him. But on that day there will be a great dividing, the sheep and the goats, as we read in Matthew 25. And it's not merely those that have said, yes, I believe there's a God that will be saved, but who are those that are the Lord's? Matthew 25, as he gathers and he separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep are those that showed real love to God and real love to his people in this world. He says, whatever ye did for the least of these, ye did it for me. These are my true people. Many will say, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. But he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. you workers of iniquity. Many call him Lord but don't know him in the life. And there will be this dividing, and men will gaze upon God's people as they stand amidst a vast company of angels, and Christ will be glorified in the midst, and they shall cast their crowns before him, and they will say, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thee. These are the poor in spirit, who know that there is no good in them, who know and feel themselves to be sinners. They won't be there claiming that they have done anything of any worth, really. Whatever we did was because he was at work in our own hearts. We were once slaves of sin, but now the Lord has forgiven us. Give us a heart and a spirit to love him and to serve him in this life. Those are God's people. And who are they? Well, Paul says, they are them. The grace of God has appeared, teaching them to deny ungodliness in this present and evil world. And what else about them? That they are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Why? Because they believe the testimony of Christ. And it's by grace we do. But on that day, notice, I come quickly. It'll be sudden. And there'll be no time to prepare for it. And so this, friends, is vital that we seek him now. The Bible says, while it is called today, it's the day of salvation. And of course, if we hear his voice and we're converted, we know it's of him. And we will not resist. God saves. We know that. And he says here, I come quickly. He comes quickly for the church. Why must he come? Because he must say what the scriptures say of him, that he shall see the travail of his soul, and he will be able to say, as we read in Hebrews, here am I and all the children which thou hast given me. The Father has given him a people whom he has died for, who have believed on his name. And then we read the second part, and my reward is with me. Well, what is this reward? And my reward is with me. Well, there have been all kinds of suggestions. Well, the word reward here translated is the word misthos in the Greek, which means recompense. And my recompense is with me. You see, the Father has committed to him all judgment. And he has been set up from of old to be the judge. We're told by the apostle, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And his recompense, firstly, regarding unbelievers, is the injustice that has been done against his law. He will avenge. He will recompense. Justice will be satisfied on that day. And there will be wrath forever and forever for sinners, because they have sinned against an infinitely holy God. His reward is with him. Reward there, meaning recompense, is with me. Think of the words in Hebrews 2:2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. There you have the word again. Every transgression received it. God judged. But now when Christ shall come, there will be a final and everlasting recompense. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1:27 of men even today who receive in themselves that recompense of their error. But there will be a final recompense. There will be that, you see, God's justice must be satisfied. But you see, for the Christian, there on that day at Calvary, wrath fell on the Son of God. And God's children need fear no wrath, because God spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all. And this is why the apostle says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? For Christ has died. And for us, We need no fear that. But there is also going to be a recompense of the reward of Christ, because who, after all, has been at work in our hearts? Christ, hasn't he? He's changed our hearts. How do we love him? We love him because he first loved us. That's why we love him. By nature, we have no love to God. When the love of God comes, as Martin Luther said, it finds nothing in us. But the love of God creates in us now a love for him. We who were once haters of God, despisers of God, behold the work that God has done in our hearts. And you know, there will be a reward for us who serve him and love him now. Although it's all of him, and we will say with the psalmist, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." And he will reward the works of his hands. Are we not the works of his hands? Oh, yes, we are. My reward is with me, and he will reward his people to give every man according as his work shall be. Notice carefully there, as his work shall be, not as the man hoped it might be, but what you have actually done, God will reward as a Christian. Isn't that wonderful? Though we deserve nothing but wrath, what did Paul say? "And for me is laid up a crown of glory that the righteous Lord will give me in that day." It's amazing that God should reward us anything, friends, anything at all. For we deserve his wrath. And we know the scriptures say, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, Christians, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 5, the verse 10. And we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14, 10. He speaks to Christians. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3, 8, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. Now let us just close with a few things this morning as we think on this. What are these rewards? Well, first of all, anything we would receive is by the grace of God. Wouldn't we agree? The first thing we will receive is a glorious entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:10, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." If we overcome, and we will if we are Christians, you will overcome your sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sin shall not have dominion over us. We are overcomers, more than conquerors through Christ. And if we are, and if we continue, as Peter says, we will receive an abundant entrance. God will introduce us into the glories of heaven, and the angels, and the wonder that is prepared before us. And we shall see God face to face. We shall see him as he is. John says, "For we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is." And we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we shall receive a perfect will like his will, never to sin again. That's a wonderful thing. The heart to love him perfectly. As a result, dignity will be bestowed upon us with greater service. The Lord Jesus said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, will my Father honor." The Father will honor us if you serve me. How did we serve? Was there persecution in this life? Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5? As he is giving the sermon there upon the mount, he says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Great is your reward. You were persecuted? He said, "Blessed are ye when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake." You'll be rewarded. He says, your reward is in heaven. Whatever you're suffering for Christ's sake now, remember, friends, you'll be rewarded in heaven. What attendance have we been giving to the gifts that he has given us? We've read the parables before, I'm sure, where the Lord says, "Well done, thou good servant. Because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. The Lord will give further responsibility and honor. What about prayer? Are we a praying people? Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ upbraided the Pharisees, how they loved to pray on street corners. But he said, you get into your closet and you pray to your Father which is in heaven. And he said, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. A true life lived for God, he will reward. What about your sacrificial giving? As you give, the Lord says, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. What other areas have we served in? I don't know. Whatever it is God has commissioned you to do, be faithful, serve him to the end. There's a great and glorious appearing. You will stand, I will stand before him. The way I handled God's word, the way I lived my life, the way I ministered, the way you listened this morning. You know, too many people are too eager to get out of church and to get on with the next thing, and not to hear what God has to say. They want to serve him. More concerned about men, we should be concerned to glorify God in this life. Time is short, friends. Opportunities are limited. There's an old saying, there's only one life, will soon be passed. It's only what's done for Jesus that will last. And that's far more important, isn't it? We will stand before him, the small, the great, the dead, everyone will come. The books will be opened. But blessed be God, we shall not be judged for our sin. For that great book, the Lamb's Book of Life, will be opened up. And if our names are in there, we may not be judged for our sin, but we shall receive a reward for faithfulness. Friends, serve him. Give your whole heart to him. Never do anything half-heartedly as a Christian, but serve him with a whole heart. He will reward everything, even a glass of cold water given to a saint. He notices. Serve him. Love him. Because of rewards? No. Because he is worthy. Because he is to be glorified. If we get anything else, it's a blessing. Do you love him? Well, if you do, keep his commandments, serve him, and you'll never be disappointed. God will bless you. May the Lord bless this church and continue to help you as you serve Christ. Amen.